I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Exodus, very near the beginning of the Bible, Moses has this amazing encounter with God. Most of us pray that we might know God more clearly, more definitely, more obviously. Most of us pray that God might reveal God's self in the sense that we simply see God fully and directly in front of us, that we not hesitate or waver about the presence of God, but know God beside us. We pray that we might have moments where God is felt, known, even seen to be within each breath we take. Like this scene that William Butler Yeats describes in the poem Vacillation. He writes, "My 50th year had come and gone. I sat a solitary man in a crowded London shop, an open book and empty cup on the marble tabletop. While on the shop and street I gazed, my body of a sudden blazed, and 20 minutes more or less, it seemed so great my happiness that I was blessed and could bless." But back to Moses. Moses had this incredible encounter while keeping watch over the flock of his father-in-law. And most of us remember the encounter with the burning bush, but it was much more than that. Moses had this conversation with God, much like a conversation that you and I might have. He spoke and God listened. God spoke and Moses listened. There was a nearness, a closeness, a connection that was incredible, and one that, like Yeats, perhaps so many of us crave. In that conversation, there is this beautiful statement by God after Moses asks God for God's name. God says, "I am who I am." This amazing phrase that is potentially confusing and yet so beautiful. God is. God is in everything, through everything, is the beginning of everything, is the end of everything. God is, God was, God will be. Push aside narrow definitions and enter in the God who has the name I am who I am, the beginning, present, and future. Beyond our small interpretations, beyond time and place, they were words of invitation to know God present. Fast forward to Jesus. In this Easter time, where we are very tuned in specifically to the risen Christ, his words seem to sing with this essence, this encounter, this connection with our lives and God's presence. And these words, "I am who I am," were so much a part of who Jesus is and was as well. They are his words too, as he talked and preached and revealed holiness and abundance of God's presence. This morning, the last Sunday of the season of Easter, prior to celebrating Pentecost next Sunday, we heard once more from the Gospel of John. We've heard a lot from the Gospel of John of late, and biblical scholars have noted a number of beautiful things about this Gospel. One is the frequency of so-called "I am" statements that Jesus makes. We have heard a number of them recently, but there are usually eight phrases of Jesus that are highlighted. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." These two words are so important. I am. I am who I am. A link, a connection, a tie to the ultimate encounters with God in our Bible, where God did not remain nameless or unconnected or unknown or distant. God was seen and known. God was present. God was near. God would soon lead people out of slavery into freedom of a promised land, just as Jesus would lead people to a new kingdom, a new encounter with the holiness of God, just as Jesus was a new encounter with God, just as Jesus revealed much more than our definitions of God could ever contain, beyond time, beyond place, beyond death, beyond sin. We heard these words in the gospel reading for today. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, he said, that they may know you. He went on to say, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Those two words again, I am. They're important, not inconsequential. We become linked to those I am statements by being followers of Jesus Christ now. We bear witness not only to his connection to God, but as acknowledgers that God is known in Jesus and Jesus is known in God. We bear witness to a closer encounter with the God who is, the God who was, and the God who will be. There is a unity to them that Jesus also prays for us as followers and seekers of holy encounters. But our faith in God is not only about having these holy encounters and locking them away in our hearts and past memories. They are to guide us and direct us to live as Christ continues to hope and pray, that we reveal the God of I am in our actions and our words. Today in the Anglican Church of Canada and across this country in tiny and large Anglican churches, faithful followers are praying for Jerusalem, and in particular, the Episcopal Diocese of Jerusalem. We've named this Sunday Jerusalem Sunday because the divisions within Jerusalem and the surrounding area remind us over and over of the painful relationships encountered there. We pray for peace for that area for many reasons, but perhaps mostly because for three major religions, it is an incredibly holy land. All three faiths who hold in high regard Moses, the one who discovered God's name and introduced us all to a closer fire of God. Jerusalem is a place of encounter and prayer, a place of connectedness to God, and a deepening of our understanding of what it means to live our faith. Sadly, it has become a deep challenge to the entire world. On a recent visit with the Diocese of Ottawa, Patricia Bays wrote this about her experience. The World Heritage Site of Megiddo is a tell or mound built upon the remains of as many as 25 or 30 different settlements, the earliest dating back to 5,000 BCE. The site was on a major trading route, the Via Maris, running from Egypt to the Euphrates, and many different nations conquered it, built settlements, and were succeeded by others in their turn. Only a portion of its long and varied history has been uncovered. She says, on our partnership visit, Megiddo seemed to be, to me, an apt metaphor for the land of the Holy One. She says, it is a land of many times and civilizations. It's a land of many peoples, each leaving their mark on the landscape and the culture. There are ancient sites like the Western Wall of Solomon's Temple. There are Christian sites like the ruins of the synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus preached. There are Crusader castles and contemporary parish churches. Contemporary and ancient live side by side. The 20th century architecture of Yad Vashem and the ancient excavations of the community of Qumran. She says, life in Israel and Palestine is many layered. Muslims, Jews and Christians inhabit the land and are finding ways to live and work together, even in challenging circumstances. Meeting them and hearing their stories was for us too a rich and many-layered experience. She also said the Al-Rawad Center for Cultural and Arts is a nonprofit organization committed to teaching young Palestinians beautiful resistance, helping them to feel proud of who they are through music, drama, photography, the arts, and some social services. Their vision is to empower women, youth, and children to build partnerships based on respect of human rights and values and conservation of Palestinian traditional culture and environment. They describe themselves as the home of hope, dream, imagination, and creativity. She said it was a privilege to visit and learn of their work. I am, Jesus said so many times in John's Gospel. I am who I am, God said. We are invited into a relationship with God who calls us to a deeper place beyond religious laws, to a holy encounter with the one who is and who was and who will be. Beyond our narrow thoughts, the maker of all life slips into our lives and invites us to something so much deeper, to know that holy fire, to know that we are blessed and can bless, to see that we are called to be bearers of hope, not condemnation or violence, to pray and respond in deep compassion to Jerusalem and places of violence and division. We human beings crave encounter with the holy presence, the holy voice, the holiness of God. As we pray for our world, for Jerusalem, and on this day for Manchester as well, and many other places, may we know that our prayers are so often answered through our own actions and response to God, the great I am, working in and through us. Amen.